Jesus stripped the devil of his power over you, but he didn't strip the devil's voice in your head. You do that part. See, God works with us. He said working with them with signs, wonders, and miracles. They don't happen apart from a with them. Man, somebody's got to participate. Somebody's got to believe. Somebody's got to be on that page. God says, I want you to live on the page. Not just go to the page. I want you to live on the page with me. Let's walk through the land. Let's do the signs, wonders, miracles. Let's pray. Let's believe. Let's lay hold of truth. Lay hold of the truth. Apart from the truth, you can't get free. Apart from the truth, you'll never do what God called you to do. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But this isn't something like a thing you do. It's someone you become. The disciples became someone they never were before, remember? They'd been fishermen. They thought like fishermen. They had homes, families, responsibilities. And Jesus said, I understand. And in spite of all that, you come follow me. You come follow me. He said, and yet I show you a better way. And then he began to teach them what the better way was. There's a way that seems right to a person, to a man, the Bible says. But the end of that is destruction. You see it all around us, the way people think. I can't imagine how many people just died and went somewhere while we were just in worship. All over the world, people are dying every moment, every second. There they go, just like that. All over the world. Some of them are going, and they'll be at the throne. They will spend the rest of their day in eternity with Jesus. There. Some of us are still here, but there is a there. Do you know where your there is? Are you sure? And what do you base it on? Do you base it on you made a decision one time before people and you said, I got saved. Yes, I believe Jesus is my Savior. The devil knows Jesus is the Savior. That's why he fights so hard. Did you make him your Lord? See, he's the Savior, whether you take him or not. But is he the Lord of your life? See, this is where it boils down to it, doesn't it? This is where the rubber meets the road. Is he really your Lord? And how do you know? You want to serve him. You want his love flowing through you. You give him your life. Okay. So if you give the Lord your life, whose is it now? Oh. So now, since your life belongs to someone else, that means you have to consult with him, do you not? Before you make choices and decisions in your day and you're making your plans. Because if he's not Lord of your plans, he's not Lord of your life. What Jesus did for us was paid in full. It was paid in full. We had a debt we couldn't pay. I couldn't pay my debt, and we know where to start. How do you pay a debt for stubbornness? How do you pay a debt for being out there, just out there? What suits you, what pleases you? How do you pay a debt for that? And then you're going to come into the presence of a holy God. Well, you can't pay the debt. That's why he did it for you. Turn with me this morning to Isaiah 53, please. I don't know why I didn't mark all my scriptures, but I didn't. (Clears throat) There's something I just want us to understand about what happened for you and for me. I want you to understand that what I'm fixing to read to you was written 700 years before Jesus was born. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no beauty or form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. I looked that up. It means disdained. They looked down on him. This is speaking of Jesus. The prophet wrote about him 700 years before he was born. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. That word despised means he wasn't worth much to them. They regarded him with contempt. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed and made whole. That means you were made whole, complete. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Laid on him the fault, the punishment of all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? Where is his posterity? Where is his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. Nor was any deceit, nothing false, no fraud, no treachery in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. That's a promise. That was a promise to us. For he shall bear their iniquities. All your faults, all your sins, said he would bear it. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with people who really were criminals. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He interceded for those who were killing him. He prayed for those that nailed him to the wood. He prayed for those who beat him mercilessly, pulled out his beard, put a crown of thorns and slammed it on his head, and then took a stick and beat that thing over and over and over so it would protrude down and tear it, rip his flesh on his head. He was a mass of blood. He was a mass of blood. Now go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. This is another prophet. His name is David. He's a familiar one. He's the one that killed Goliath. But he was a prophet. He was a psalmist. He was a king. But he was also a prophet. Listen to what he said 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And why do I keep emphasizing how long it was before Jesus was born? Because time is irrelevant to God. He lives in eternity. But he had a plan. And that's why it was so important for the Bible to be preserved. Never take the Word of God lightly. It is your lifeline to truth. It is your lifeline to truth. The Bible is. It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is inspired by God Himself. And there's much wisdom. There's so much you can learn just reading the Bible. Just read it and read it. And then go back and read it and read it. After that, you go back and you read it and you read it. And you will change. You will have a different picture of Jesus than you've ever had before. You don't have to enjoy it when you first start. But at some point, you'll be hooked. And you say, my gosh, I can't read enough of this. I cannot read enough of this. Psalm 22, he wrote this about Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you were holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. I looked that up. I am a worm and no man. That word worm, if you look it up, it's a particular type of worm. The color is scarlet or crimson. They used to use this worm for dye. Some of it was in the priestly garments. It was also in the tabernacle for some of the tapestries and things that they did. This worm, when it gets ready to bear its young, finds a tree. It has some sort of substance where it attaches its body to the tree. The babies are born. All is well. Eventually, that worm dies on that tree because it cannot loosen itself. It can only attach itself. And he says, for I am a worm. Jesus was like that worm. A mass of blood. They used to crush this worm, and they would use it for the dye because it was red. And this... You know, when we read the Bible, it's like, it's so cool if you just look something up every once in a while. But I'm a worm and no man. And he's saying, I'm attached to this. I'm a mass of blood. And I'm fixed to this wood. And this worm is a picture of what he was describing. Jesus was like that crimson scarlet worm that was attached to a tree and would never leave it. He would die on that wood for you and me. He says, I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, y'all know what they mean by shoot out the lip? Have y'all ever seen that expression? Yeah, sure. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. That's exactly what they said when Jesus was dying. All except this was prophesied 1,000 years before that, even what they would say. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Those were like demon spirits. And that's what was going on. They were saying, well, why don't you come down? Look, he said he was God. But look at him now. Look at, well, why don't you come down and save yourself if you're God? Come on, show us you're God. Never mind the dead being raised, all the miracles, the blind eyes being opened, all the things that were supernatural. Do you understand? For people who don't want to believe, it doesn't matter how many supernatural things you do, they will not believe. Do you know that except a man be drawn, he can't even be saved? And did you know that God will not strive with us forever? That at some point you'll get to a place where God will say, okay, I'll leave you alone now. I'm done. I'll leave you alone. Did you know you can't get saved just anytime you want to? Because if you're not drawn, you won't want to. And it won't be sincere. You won't do it. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that's melted within me. His bones, there's another place where it talks about what I just read in Isaiah, where show forth your bones. All his bones were literally out of joint from the way he had been beaten and so the way he'd been handled. His bones weren't broken, but they were out of joint. He had places protruding from his body where you're not supposed to have a bone there. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I cannot imagine. It's hard to even imagine. But he was a mass of blood. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. That's a stone you used to scrape things with. And my tongue clings to my jaws. He didn't even have any spit left in his mouth. He was so dehydrated, and the blood was flowing from him so quickly that he couldn't even move his own tongue. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. There it is again. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. I can show them because they're protruding from my body. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and from my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. There are times when God is your help, and he's the only help you're going to have. If you haven't been there, you will before life is over. You'll cry out to God. You can do it now or you can do it later when you've created your own crisis. Most of the crises in life we have created for ourselves by the choices that we've made. People don't like to hear that. We don't want to ever feel like we're responsible for our own misery. You are. It isn't where you were born or who you were born to. You can make choices because you see other people who do. You look at their situation and say, I don't know how they lived through that, but they did, and they have great joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. It's a verse you know. Do we think about it very often? I think about Jesus on that cross, and I'm so glad that I don't have to think of him staying there. That when I have a picture of Jesus, I never in my mind when I'm praying see him there. I don't want to see him there. Because he said, it is finished. It is finished. And God, all the angels of heaven were rejoicing. He made it. He did it. He did it. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Do you know you'll never really love God until you have a real revelation of how much he loves you? If you will read the word of God, not for information, but for revelation to your spirit, then your spirit will tell your brain what you just read. See, if you read the Bible just from your intellect, it'll be confusing. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God who lives in you. And this is why I preach over and over, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is why it's so hard for some people to really understand what they read. It's because their interpreter isn't active in their life. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will take of what is mine and he will reveal it to you. Jesus didn't say, I'll reveal it to you. He said, the Holy Ghost would. Turn to Matthew 27, please. Kathy? Look at Matthew 27. I've just got a few verses here. In verse 37 of Matthew 27, it reads, and they put up over his head, speaking of Jesus on the cross, the accusation. They put what they were calling an accusation written against him. But what they put was the truth. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. They thought it as a mockery. But the joke's on them for all eternity, because he was the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple, build it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Because he said, because he was the temple. They didn't understand. The Jewish, they valued their temple and they thought about how long, how many years it had taken to build the temple. And they thought, that's ridiculous. But they didn't have ears to hear what the Spirit was saying. They didn't have the revelation. He is the temple. He, the Godhead bodily dwells in him. They didn't understand it. So they said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." Nanny boo-boo. I mean, they're just going on and on about it. Said, "Let God deliver him." They went on to say that. Go down 44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him at the beginning with the same thing. Both of them. They started out the same, but praise God, one of them ended up with a completely different attitude. "Remember me when you come into your glory." That robber. Wow, it wasn't long till he saw the face of Jesus in his glorified. Oh my, just now from the sixth hour, that was like noon to three is what it was, until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was forsaken because of sin, because he became everything God hated and despised. God hates sin. Sin will never go to heaven. Sickness does not go to heaven. I've heard people say, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll be healed." No, because you're not going to show up sick. Doesn't go. Don't work like that. There's nothing like that in heaven at all. That's not the atmosphere of heaven. Likewise, anyway, they went on. So some of them who stood there said, heard that. And he said, "Oh, he's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and they took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. Can you imagine what nasty mess that is? The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus was dying for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. I love this. He didn't end soft. He didn't end pitiful. He cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, see, nobody could take it. He had to yield it. Y'all understand that? Jesus wasn't killed on the cross. He had never sinned, so there was no way he could die. He had to give his life as a ransom for many, the Bible says. He gave his life. They couldn't take it. They didn't have power to take it. Because is it appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment? That was because of sin. But he had no sin, so they couldn't kill him. He had to yield and give up his life. So when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, there was an earthquake. Things began to happen, y'all. And the things that had happened, they feared. Well, let me go back. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That veil was about 4 inches thick, and it was 60 feet high in the temple. And it ripped from top to bottom. And the rocks were split. Now, that's an unusual event in the calm of a day, right? You're looking at like the middle of the day. And all of a sudden, rocks begin to split. And the graves were opened. This gets better. and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised from the dead. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Can you imagine the commotion in this town? Can you imagine Shreveport, something like that happening here? And all of a sudden the rock split. You know, it's like the middle of the day, 12 to 3. And everything is dark. And all of a sudden these rocks just start splitting everywhere. The ground's quaking. Oh, you know, it's all happening at the same time. And then people that you knew from years ago, you knew they were dead. You were at their funeral. You go, whoa! What's going on? Can you imagine the confusion? Ah. I love the Bible stories. Get to where you put yourself in the story, insert yourself somewhere in that story. What would it have been like? And so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. Don't you know it? Truly, this was the Son of God. And look what we have been doing to him. Oh, can you imagine? They became believers, though. This was, they confessed, Jesus is the Son of God. And many women, there were always lots of women in Jesus' ministry, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. He was very brave. He was a wealthy man, but he went right up to Pilate and said, I want his body. I will bury him. And he was granted that. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He personally dressed Jesus and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And we know Mary Magdalene was there and the other Marys sitting opposite the tomb. There are three different accounts of this, and each one is different. One of them also talks about a woman named Salome, and one of them is just Mary Magdalene. And then this one is because the different disciples had a different perspective, okay? They emphasize what they think is important, each one of them, but it's the same story. Just like in a car wreck, each of you would have a different thing you probably tell the police if you saw the same event. So the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive. Now that deceiver said, they think he's a deceiver, but they believe everything he said. Go figure. Remember he said, after 3 days I will rise. Do you understand the judgment that comes on these people? They believed he was telling the truth and did what they were doing. And to make sure that nobody would find out what scoundrels they were, they could still look holy to somebody, they paid off the guards that were guarding the tomb. Yeah. So Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, which of course didn't faze Jesus. When you're God of all creation, a couple of guards, a couple of little 2D swords, that's not going to be anything. He came up out of that tomb. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, as the dawn was just coming, there was somebody who just couldn't wait. I got to go. As soon as they could legally, under the law, go. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. That's some angel.
Boom, 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 boom.
You know, can you imagine? I think about you just standing there. You're going to go. It's just now daylight creeping in. You just now just legally can get up and go somewhere. And all of a sudden, you're like, again, earthquake. Angel shows up. It says it was a great earthquake. So they might have fallen down. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Don't you love that? After this thunderous appearance and the whole earth shaking, he goes, rolls the stone away. I have pictured this, the angel going, poof, this big boulder that took several people to move, you know, with some of their gear to do it and everything. And then he goes, I don't think I'll just sit up here and wait. Yeah. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They passed out clean. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Wasn't that so sweet? He said, I'll let you come in. I want you to see. Come on. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I want you to know today the stone was rolled away. And when they went in, there was nobody there. Because Jesus was very much alive. Jesus is very much alive today, too. Everything he did for you and me. He did. He did it because of love. Everything Jesus did was motivated by his love for the Father. Because sometimes I think we forget this human part of Jesus. His spirit was God, but his brain wasn't. His brain was not God. His spirit was. This is why he had to learn. This is why his father had to teach him carpentry for the trees that he had made at some point. You know, nobody but God would have come up with a plan like that to entrust human beings to raise Jesus. Because he had to learn. But he didn't have a desire to sin. That would have been handy for me. What about y'all? That would be handy for me. I just have no desire to sin. Yeah. He had no desire to sin. He didn't want to. He never wanted to disobey. He just didn't want to. See, sin makes us ornery. Sin makes us contrary to something that's very simple. And oh, how he loved. Oh, how he loved. Nobody will ever love you as much as Jesus. You know, I've heard the gospel message preached so many different times in my life growing up as a kid. But I see it through such different eyes than I ever did then. And I'm telling you today, until you get a revelation of how much God loves you, you won't love him the way he wants you to. And I think Paul had a revelation of that. I think some of the early disciples had a revelation of that. Were they perfect? No. Paul wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. There was only one that could pull that off, right? But I believe they repented. I believe they were people of passion. And I believe they had gotten a revelation of how much Jesus loves them. And because of the revelation that they got, they were able to endure great hardships and afflictions that we can't even really imagine. Do you know him today? In the way I have been describing today, do you know him? Do you know that God has plans for your life that you have not tapped into yet? We're so busy with just tomorrow and what all we got to do, maybe even this afternoon. You see, the thoughts of the world will occupy your mind, and it is Satan's way of keeping you from ever really knowing God the way he wants you to. There's very few people that can tap out of the world long enough to get over into the realm of the Spirit with God. But that's where your real life is. That's where your blessings really are. That's where the favor of the Lord can come on you, and people will do things for you, and you don't even know why they're doing it. They just like doing it. It will draw things to you. God has a way of arranging your life where His will begins to come to you. Instead of you having to go try to find God's will, people always say, "Well, I just need to know what God's will is." Well, no, you need to learn who He is. Because if He told you today, but you haven't had that intimacy with Him that you just have to have, then if He showed you His will, you wouldn't be able to do it. Because you have to understand His will is going to challenge everything about you there's ever been in you. It will challenge everything about you. And the one thing that's going to have to die, it will be you. To where you can get to where you don't care any more about what other people think than Jesus did. It'll be the hardest thing you've ever done. Because we love the praise and adoration of people. Oh, we love that. And then we can say, well, I did a good job because they all said so. They all seemed to really like me. Everything must be going okay. And then if somebody says something a little, well, I don't know, you think they meant that? Are they like mad at me? Are they? It's hard to die, isn't it? Then we've all been there. It's hard to die. And you won't do it until you discover, God, you're enough. God, you're enough. You're enough. You're enough. You're more than enough. He says He's the God that's more than enough. I challenge you today. He died so you could live, but in order to live, you'll have to die. To yourself, your ideas, your plans, your peers. Did you know peer pressure never ends? It never ends. You never get past it. It's not just y'all's age. It's not. It never ends. In work, on your job, wherever you are, it's always there. It's just always there. And then every time something comes up, you have to decide, God, am I making you first or am I putting me? Am I making myself my God one more time? Because I need so bad for everybody to like me or to think I've done a really good job or to think I'm smart or to think I know something or I'm capable or whatever. It's different for different people. But most of those fit most of those categories of people. Y'all stand up. I imagine you're probably ready. Bonnie, if you could just start that kind of on low to begin with, I'd appreciate it so I can be heard. You see, the cross is empty. When He said it's finished, He has done all He's going to do. See, Jesus has done everything He's going to do until He comes back. He'll be your friend. He'll talk with you. I love when God talks to me. It's the most precious thing I know. I love it more than anybody else talking to me. I mean, really anybody. When I know I've heard God. He wants intimacy with you. He wants something real, and he wants you to be pure. He wants your motives to be pure. Because see, He really is God. He really is the Lord Almighty. There is no other God.